stuff. Good morning, church. Let us pray before we begin today. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for this day. I thank you that we begin this weekend of rest. I pray that anyway, those who are listening are resting, that we started with prayer, we started with your word, and that, that the foundations that are laid are on you and not on the other busy things that we have scheduled for this weekend. Lord, I pray that you bless this weekend as we start it in the right footing, on the right footing. And Lord, may you just cover us as we go through your word and as we pray for our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So good morning, everyone. Today we'll be going through Psalm 49. Psalm 49. I'm reading from the ESV translation. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble, when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations. Though they call lands by their own names, man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them, people approve of their boasts. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Be not afraid when the man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed. And though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like beasts that perish. Amen. This passage is interesting because I think the theme of comparing the man in his pomp, so this is a refrain that happens at verse 12, and then also the refrain that ends this chapter, man in his pomp yet without understanding, compared to the man that is redeemed by God, this comparison is not specifically mentioned in the context of wealth in other chapters of the Psalms, as far as I can recall. So this is one of the first chapters in Psalm so far, if you start from Psalm 1, which talks about that comparison. Now, this comparison is interesting because this passage is actually not just for those that are of humble wealth in this world, those that have little wealth in this world. Quite the contrary. This passage is for everyone. If you read starting from verse 1, it's a command. Hear this. Give ear. Hear this. Give ear. And who is it to? All the people. All peoples. All inhabitants of the world. Both low and high. Rich and poor together. That's an interesting passage if you think about it. If this is a warning, why is this to the poor? Because this whole psalm is a warning. This whole psalm is about not accumulating wealth on this world if we do not accumulate our riches for heaven. That's the very simple message from this chapter. It's all about the accumulation of the treasures in heaven, and that the wealth that we store on this world will rot away. The wealth that we have in this world, we cannot take to the next world, that being new creation, that being heaven. And so interestingly, you would have thought this warning is to those that are rich in this world. But no, this is a warning to both the low and high, for the rich and the poor together. Hear this, give ear. It's a command. It's not an invitation to a place of comfort. It's a challenge. And you'll see why later on, why this challenge is not just to the high and the rich, but also to the low and the poor. The verse then continues, verses 3-4. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Wisdom, understanding, proverb, riddle. This chapter cannot just be understood on its face value. There's a parable behind this. There's a proverb behind this. There is some godly wisdom, not secular wisdom, godly wisdom behind this. It's like a riddle. We have to parse the verses, read between the lines, understand what the author is truly getting at. Because the prima facie, the surface message here, is that those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches, they're the ones that will not bring their wealth and riches to new creation. Because why? Because this person, this man of pomp, this man that is so full of himself, thinks that he can even live on forever. Verse 9, that he's so proud that he thinks he can live on forever, that he can never see the pits. Now, the pit is oftentimes a word that is used to describe hell, meaning he will never die. He thinks he will never die. He thinks he will never see hell. Then verse 12 says, but this man in his pomp, he will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. He just simply will not remain. He's just like any other animal. So now you have another comparison. A man in his pomp is no different than an animal that perishes. And we can read this. Charles Spurgeon says this about verse 13 when it has the first Selah. So we mentioned before, when you study the Psalms, Selah is a time for meditation. So verse 12 to 13, man in his pomp will not remain. He's like the beast that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence, yet after them people approve of their boasts. Spurgeon says this, their vain confidences are not casual aberrations from the path of wisdom, but their way, their actual lifestyle, their way, their usual and regular course. Their whole life is regulated by such principles. Their life path is essential folly. They are fools ingrained. From first to last, brutishness is their characteristic groveling stupidity, the leading trait of their conduct. Yet, their posterity approve their sayings. Those who follow them in this descent follow them in folly, quote their worldly maxims, and accept their mad career as the most prudent mode of life. Why do they not see their father's failure as their father's folly? No, the race transmits its weakness. Grace is not hereditary, but sordid worldliness goes from generation to generation. The race of fools never dies out. No need of missionaries to teach men to be earthworms. They crawl naturally to the dust. Selah. Well, may the minstrel pause and bid us to muse upon the deep-seated madness of the sons of Adam. Take occasion, reader, to reflect upon thine own. Yes, indeed, we need to reflect. If you think this passage does not apply to you because you're not monetarily wealthy, you're not considered rich in the world, I bid you to really, really stop and listen to what this passage is saying. What this passage is saying is not the wealth of this world. What this passage is saying is, what are you accumulating in this life that has nothing to do with eternity? What are you accumulating in this life that has nothing to do with eternity? Because once the question turns on accumulation in this life, then this passage is no longer just about the high and the rich, but also to the low and the poor. Because if you, or if anyone we know who are low and poor in this world, our base desire is still to accumulate something in this world to make meaning of our lives, to accumulate something in this world to make meaning of our lives. Yet even that very phrase is paradoxical, because to accumulate something in this world is ironically the very thing that is taking meaning away from our life. To accumulate something in this world is actually ironically to take away meaning from our life. When you look at the word wealth, passage in verse 6 and other passages in this particular psalm, you'll learn that the word wealth literally means accumulations. It literally means, what are you amassing? It's not just necessarily in the context of financial wealth, but you're talking about assets. You're talking about relationships. You're talking about reputation. You're talking about things that give you pride. You're talking about things that give you value. You're talking about friendships. You're talking about networks. Things that are of value to you is things that are things that you have worked hard to accumulate. Yet notice, with all the things that I mentioned, none of them, not even friendships and relationships, are inherently things that relate to the eternal kingdom. You cannot take any of these things away with you. Even your best friend, even the friendship that you have, if that is not founded on the cornerstone of Jesus, if your friendship is not built on Christ, and by that meaning you yourself are walking with Christ, your friend is also walking with Christ in the circumstances, you will see him or her again in heaven. But if that wasn't the case, and we're building friendships and connections, networks, whatever it is, CV, profile, and none of that has anything to do with heaven, then we're not taking it with us to heaven. That is not eternal. Those are just things that we do in this life to bide our time until we die, if we have to put it grimly. And that's exactly what this author is driving at. Verse 16, be not afraid when a man becomes rich. Now here, remember, rich is not financial wealth, but what are they amassing? What are they accumulating in this world? So think of it in those terms. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed. And though you get praise when you do well for yourself. So the point of accumulation is to do what? To get value in this world. Why? So you get praised. The low and the poor also get praised for the things that they accumulate that are of value to them, just in the same way as the high and the rich. So though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never see again light. So it's not a good thing. The point here is, even this person's fathers have committed the same folly, that is, accumulating wealth in this world, accumulating things in this world, accumulating relationships in this world. And yet, like his fathers, he too will never again see light. This is described as the man in his pomp without understanding, much like the beasts that perish. This author is very unflattering. He's saying, man in his pomp is no better than a beast, no better than an animal. Now think of the animals. Of course, we don't think of them as sophisticated. They certainly don't have a financial plan of retirement. And yet, from God's perspective, through this author, he's saying, all the planning, all the wealth, all the things that you accumulate on this world to achieve value, to achieve importance, from God's perspective, you're no different than the animal outside that's being murdered, that's being eaten, that is living in the animal kingdom. From God's perspective, we would be no different if eternity is not at the central of the things that we are amassing. So what God is saying, he's cutting through. He's not saying, we're not just talking about finances. We're talking about, what is your heart, the state of your heart? Are you seeking praises here? Are you seeking value here? Or are you seeking for your value to be determined by the treasures that you're gaining for heaven, by the treasures in heaven? Is your identity rooted in the value of being a Christian? Or is your identity valued in the things that you're amassing on this earth that you cannot take away? Job says this, Job 1:21, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, interesting, he said this at the very beginning of Job, when he lost everything. He didn't just lose his finances. He lost his family. He lost his loved ones. It's very important that here, Job's loss is not just a financial loss, but it's even the loss of his loved ones. Even he cannot take his loved ones to heaven if they're not rooted in Christ. And so in many ways, quite literally, he feels like he's stripped. He's stripped bare. And that's what we really are. When we strip bare, what do we have left? When the things that we have amassed in this world are taken away, what do we have left? That's probably a very good meditation question for us. What value do you think you have? What value do we think we have if all the things we have amassed in this world so far are taken away from us, even our skills? You know, if I, right now, as a preacher, if the skill of preaching is taken away from me, what value do I have, right? You know, that the act of preaching, meaning the act of speaking right now, the usage of my tongue, that too can be an accumulation of wealth right here. What if that was taken from me? What if I suddenly lost my voice? Like Bob Sorge, what if suddenly one day as a worship leader, he loses his voice? Of course, we would go through an identity crisis. Of course, we question, God, why am I still here? And yet that precisely is the question that God is asking us to consider regularly. And the psalm is a psalm that we should read regularly. And we go back to this and we ask ourselves, have the things we've been doing things of this world, such that when it's taken away from us, do we lose all sense of identity? Do we lose all sense of value? Or are we able to recalibrate and remember, regardless of whether I have or don't have these things, my identity in Christ is secure. I am equally comforted that my identity does not come from the things that this world values. Ecclesiastes 5:15, same thing. And he's, as he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came. And he shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. Again, nothing we toil right now on this world can we take away to new creation. Now, isn't that interesting? If you really think about it, then that should seriously challenge how we spend our day, how we spend our hours, our minutes. Right here, right now, you are spending your time listening to this message, whether live or on podcast. How are you spending it? How are you spending it? Even on the face of it, you're listening. But if after we listen, we don't go away to question what we value, we don't go away to question the things that actually should be accumulating and that we can take away to new creation, that being things of Christ, because he is eternal. If we're not questioning those things and you spend your time listening to this message, you spend your time praying for the people, do you think that is of value to you? Do you think that is helpful for you? And that's a challenge that I have for myself. I'm, you know, going to EMP, praying, spending time with brothers and sisters. Is this just an act? Or is this thing rooted deep in my heart that every message I listen to, I really feel challenged, provided it's actually from God, of course. Or every time I pray for someone, it's not just lip service. I actually want to intercede. And if I have an opportunity to actually ask those people how they're doing, especially people that we see on the list that we pray for, do we know them? Can we do more than just pray for them? Is there something we can do? Ask about the things that we're praying. You know, challenging. Spurgeon ends the chapter by commenting as such. The song ends with the refrain, "Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish." Understanding differences, men from animals, but if they will not follow the highest wisdom, are like beasts, and like beasts find their all in this life, then their end shall be as mean and dishonorable as that of beasts slain in the chase or killed in the shambles, from the loftiest elevation of worldly honor to the uttermost depth of death is but a step. Saddest of all is the reflection that though men are like beasts in all the degradation of perishing, yet not unto the rest, which animal perishing secures. For alas, it is written, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. So ends the minstrel's lay. Comforting as the theme is to the righteous, it is full of warning to the worldly. So note, Spurgeon here notes, this warning is not to the rich or to the high. It's to the worldly. And the worldly includes the rich and the poor. Spurgeon says, hear ye it, O you rich and poor. Give ear to it, you nations of the earth. So as I invite Sterling to lead us in worship, I think Sterling just jumped off the call accidentally. So I'll wait for, yeah, if I can invite Sterling, making sure he's connected. Let me just message him. Yep, as Sterling prepares for worship, maybe we'll just lead us in a bit of time of prayer. Father God, I just thank you, Father, again for this simple word. It's a simple word, God. What wealth have we been accumulating in this world that has nothing to do with you? How much time have we been spending building that, accumulating that, increasing our wealth in that regard, and not building your kingdom? Is the majority of our time spent being recognized in this world, especially in a place like Hong Kong, where the culture is inherently toxic and the values are placed on things that are not eternal? We spend most of our time doing that. At the end of the day, we need your guidance, Father. We need your wisdom. Help us to recognize when we fall short of amassing the true wealth, that is the wealth of the kingdom of heaven. Forgive us when we forget. Forgive us when we don't know. Forgive us when we simply are not doing it. And we truly just ask for your guidance, for your discernment, for your encouragement, and for your conviction. May your Holy Spirit convict us. May we humble ourselves to hear you. How much more can we do for your kingdom? What can we do to abide in Jesus better? And that the actions that we take and the words that we speak, the things that flow from our heart into our bodies, how can we conduct ourselves better? So that what we are amassing are things that are truly of eternal value. As this author wrote, verse 15, God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. God, you are the one that will ransom me. You're the one that will pay the price for my soul. You're the one that will reach out to me even when I fail. And God, so we implore on your name, on your faithful loving kindness, on your goodness towards us, on your inclination towards us, on your grace towards us. We ask in the name of your character and that what you have done and what you continue to do today, we ask you to graciously teach us how to do better, how to amass the right wealth, and how to have the right perspective of how we spend our time in this life. Thank you, Lord. I pray these things your son's precious name. Amen.
Murder me asked of you this day. Come and heal the bed. In our hearts together, that your glory might be seen in us, that the world will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. just be one voice in love and harmony. And we pray, oh God, grant us unity. Now is the time for you and I to join our hearts in praise. In the name of Jesus, we believe the height of down the earth, that the world will know that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you, Sterling. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we pray that indeed that we do this in one voice, that we're able to draw towards people that are struggling with this, that are struggling to just make ends meet. There is much to be said about how this passage will be very difficult to share, especially for those that don't even have wealth in this world. Yet at the same time, they too struggle with the same sins like many of us do. Many of us who do have resources, who do have greater wealth than they do, that they still will struggle with the same sins. And Father, help us to redirect them as we redirect our hearts, that in many ways we're all in one boat, the rich and the poor, the high and the low. We all struggle with the same things. Father, how we can minister better, knowing that we're all sinners in the same way. And that, Father, that we need to strive and struggle together to be closer to you and to learn to use, to use and to redirect the wealth that we do have to things that actually are of value to your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. I pray these things in your son's precious name. Amen. Let us now pray for our community. Let's pray for those that have been diagnosed with cancer and those that are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery right now. Let's pray for that. Pray now for those that are ill and not yet saved. Let's pray that Spirit ministers to them and that they will receive salvation and that they'll also receive healing at the same time. Let's pray for that right now. I'll pray for those that are that have infirmities and pray that the Lord is with them and that they that he brings healing in these things too. Pray now for those that are looking for jobs and pray that the Lord provides the right jobs at the right time. And then in the meantime, that the Lord preserves them and prepares them for that next stage in their life. Let's pray for that. Pray now for SPMY. Let's pray for the leaders there and that the Lord continues to cover them, continues to prepare them as they do ministry in the States. Let's pray for the ministry opportunities in North Korea. I think right now, obviously, we're not traveling anywhere. We pray for the people that we do know there, as well as those that are in Asia. Let's pray that the missionaries that we do have contacts with, persecuted churches as well, and that they're blessed and covered in this time, and that there are ways in which, as we intercede for them, that if we can help, that would be great as well. Let's pray for that. Let's also pray for our church weekend gatherings. Let's pray for the Sunday services, the well, SP Kids, worship, hospitality, youth, spin, spill services, migrant worker classes, all the meetings. Let's pray for these things. Also pray for those that are pregnant, and that pray that they're going through this time as a time of blessing, that it's not too difficult, and that the baby continues to be healthy, carried to full term, and that the moms will be able to give birth safely. Let's pray for that. Finally, let's pray for House Church at Bowen, Hollywood, Kings Court, Mawa, and Southside. Let's pray that the Lord really works through the House Church leaders, guides them through the discussion questions to really, really scrutinize the Philippians passage. And just pray that God, they will really feel like they get to encounter you during House Church today. Let's pray for that. Let's pray. Lord, again, thank you for this beautiful day. And I pray that as we continue to meditate on the Psalms, that we continue to fellowship with brothers and sisters this weekend. I understand that there's been some really good outreaches this week, and today there's more, and tomorrow as well. Let's pray that we as a community will really just focus on kingdom values, and that we focus on building the kingdom together. That's really the only unity that we call for, and that there are many differences between us, and yet at the same time, we're called to the same mission. And so, Father, we pray that we serve this mission well together, and that the building of this kingdom are the things that we value, are things that we ought to be wealthy in, not the things of this world, but the things of the next world. So we pray that you really bless us, cover us this day, and just pray these things in your son's precious name. Amen. Thanks, everyone, for joining. And I pray that you've been blessed this morning, and that you have a great weekend. And I pray that you have a good time of rest, and hopefully see you at service tomorrow. Bless you guys.